This is 1A. I'm Jen White in Washington. We start today with a breakthrough of sorts for those in Congress investigating the events that led up to the insurrection on January 6th.
We're pleased that Mr. Meadows is engaging with the committee through his attorney. He's agreed to sit down with us. That is all positive and helpful. We have not taken any topic off the table. We're going to ask questions that will help us gather that information to tell the full and complete story. And we're appreciative of this step. And then we'll assess after the interview what level of cooperation that Mr. Meadows provided.
That's Democratic Representative Pete Aguilar. He's one of the House members on the January 6th committee. We now know that Donald Trump's former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, who steadfastly refused to cooperate with the investigation, has changed his mind. Earlier, committee members had been clear that those they subpoenaed would be held in criminal contempt if they refused to comply. Mark Meadows clearly knows a lot, but how much is he willing to share? Let's speak to NPR's Claudia Grisales. She's following all the latest twists and turns. Claudia, thanks for making time.
Thanks for having me.
So what's changed in the last 24 hours?
Quite a bit. This has been quite a struggle between the two sides of this former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, versus the committee, and trying to reach some sort of agreement for him to come in. He did get a subpoena more than 2 months ago, at the same time that ex-Trump strategist Steve Bannon did. Now, Bannon outright defied his subpoena. We've seen him referred for criminal contempt, and he's now fighting this indictment in court. And Meadows was facing potentially the same outcome if he didn't come to some sort of agreement with the panel soon. So now he's agreed to at least appear before them. He's turned over documents. So it's the beginning of what could be a cooperation between both sides. But that also remains to be seen in terms of how he handles his testimony before this panel.
Now, Meadows previously argued that his evidence was bound by executive privilege. So what reasons does he have for cooperating now?
So his attorney yesterday, George Terwilliger, released a statement saying that Meadows could agree to answer some questions that are not covered by this privilege shield. That is their hope, that he could address some of the committee's questions. For example, they have been asking about a personal email account, a personal cell phone that Meadows may have had on January 6th. That is not covered by these privilege claims. Those claims are more for conversations between the advisor and the president of the United States at that time that could create some immunity claims there. However, there are some issues that are not. So these are the kind of gray areas that they're pointing to where Meadows could voluntarily perhaps share some more details there.
Well, we have that statement from George Terwilliger, Meadows' lawyer. We'll read it here. Quote, as we have from the beginning, we continue to work with the Select Committee and its staff to see if we can reach an accommodation that does not require Mr. Meadows to waive executive privilege or to forfeit the longstanding position that senior White House aides cannot be compelled to testify before Congress. And he added, we appreciate the Select Committee's openness to receiving voluntary responses on non-privileged topics. Claudia, how important is the clock here? If we assume it'll take time to agree on what information Meadows is willing to share with the committee, could this be a way to both play for time and avoid what appeared to be a looming charge of criminal contempt?
Yes, it could. Even before this agreement was reached, I talked to a few legal analysts about this. And for example, when they compare it to the Bannon case, Bannon outright defied. The committee moved on a contempt referral in less than a month. At the same time, Bannon was not a part of the administration on January 6th, whereas Meadows was. That said, Meadows and his attorney have played enough of a dance, is what legal analysts tell me, to buy himself time. It's been more than 2 months again, and it could stretch out even longer. He could be buying even more time by going before this committee. So it's very key for him to extend the clock, if you will, and maybe dodge a potential contempt referral.
Big picture, Claudia, how much time does this investigation have to get its work done?
It does not have a lot when you look at everything they are facing. They have thousands of documents that they are poring over. They've talked to nearly 250 witnesses, most of them unnamed, behind closed doors. And so they are diving into a lot of information right now. Also, they're battling a lawsuit that was filed against former President Trump, against the committee to stop them from getting even more records from the National Archives. memos from Trump's administration from those days. And so they have perhaps about a year to go before they need to wrap up this investigation, because there are concerns that Democrats could lose control of the chamber in the midterm elections next November. And they want to wrap this before any changes potentially come down the pipe for the chamber. Meanwhile, they really would like to wrap it if they could before the elections to try and avoid any kind of political stain on the investigation, if you will. And they want to make sure that it presents as unbiased and as nonpartisan as possible.
Any reaction yet from the former president now that his former chief of staff is working with the committee? He's urged members of his administration to boycott.
Not as of yet. It's very interesting. Also this morning, we learned from reporting from The Guardian that Mark Meadows also has a book coming out next week, which is actually around the same timing that he could testify before this panel, we're told. And so in that book, he delves into some details that we were not aware of during the Trump administration. So it will be interesting if we do hear from the former president on this plan to at least appear before the committee for now, and as well as these details that he seems to be sharing as of late.
We're talking to NPR's congressional reporter, Claudia Grisales. Now, we know Mark Meadows is a big fish, but there are others the committee wants to talk to. Democratic Representative Adam Schiff also serves on the committee. And on Sunday, he told CNN's Dana Bash that the investigation was getting help despite a few high-profile holdouts.
You know, I can tell you that for everyone who is trying to obstruct, like the former president, like Mr. Bannon and others, there are dozens and dozens of people who are coming forward voluntarily or who are coming forward when the committee requests that they do so. And so we are learning a great deal, but it is a broad investigation.
Mm-hmm. Claudia, as you said, the committee has spoken to hundreds of witnesses, has thousands of documents to examine. That just sounds like a lot of work when you're up against the clock. How does the committee avoid being buried under the weight of its own investigation?
Yeah, that is an ultimate challenge. It's a pretty tight committee, too, in terms of staff. It's about 40 or so staffers that are working on this, in addition to the lawmakers on the committee. And so that is going to be probably their biggest challenge, if you will, is while they're fighting these battles with witnesses that are trying to defy their subpoenas and this lawsuit that was filed by former President Trump, they're also trying to put together a very comprehensive report on all of the events that led up to and on the day of January 6th. So it remains to be seen how they do not get buried, but it's been clear from public comments from members that is their ultimate goal, that they will not be buried by all of this.
We also see reports that today the January 6th committee will hold a meeting to offer up a criminal contempt of Congress referral for Jeffrey Clark. Who is he and why does he matter?
So this is a former Department of Justice official that worked under the Trump administration. He was a very key figure in those claims of election fraud. He was a Trump ally, and he looked into various efforts on Trump's behalf to, in one case, launch an investigation into these false election fraud claims. In another, drafting a letter to Georgia state officials to look into questions about how the results in that state could go for President Biden. So he played a key role here. He was a key figure as well in a Senate Judiciary report that was released several weeks ago. And those are details that the committee wanted to get to the bottom of. Now, Clark did appear before the committee earlier in November with his attorney. But according to a transcript of that deposition, he did not really answer any of the committee's questions. He exerted privilege, and lawmakers say that he doesn't have a right to claim that, as he was not a White House advisor at the time of January 6th.
When will this question of executive privilege and who it extends to ultimately be answered?
Now, that is going to be a very complicated question to answer because there is not a lot of case law precedent there. We are seeing this fight take place in an appellate court at this time. In Trump's lawsuit against the committee, a district court already ruled against the former president. So he appealed that decision yesterday. Oral arguments were held in the case. And it was clear this three-judge panel, they were all Democratic appointees, were not really receptive to Trump's lawyers' arguments that he has claim over President Biden, over the sitting president, on executive privilege. But that remains to be seen. We could get an answer from the appellate court by year end, if not early next year.
And just remind us, Claudia, there will be a point at which this investigation is done. What happens then?
Yes. So the goal ultimately is that they do issue this very comprehensive report on the level that a 9/11 commission did at their time for that investigation. And the committee could roll out a series of legislative proposals to address the weaknesses that we saw as a result of the January 6th event, ultimately, so that it never happens again.
Now, Congress has a lot on its plate between now and the end of the year, but what are you looking out for next in terms of this investigation into the attack on the Capitol?
So it will be interesting to see what this appellate court does next, now that they have these oral arguments behind them, and what decision they issue. That's going to send a signal to a lot of these witnesses, Meadows included, on whether they're going to cooperate fully or to what extent, because they're following that very closely as a signal as to whether they are able to share these kind of details that the committee is seeking. On the other hand, also looking at the progress the committee will make if they issue more subpoenas and the direction this investigation takes by year end.
That's NPR's congressional reporter, Claudia Grisales. Claudia, it's always great to speak with you.
So good to be with you. Thank you.
Up next, prepare for an emotional journey as we speak to Brené Brown. Her latest work promises to teach us more about our hearts and souls. I'm Jen White. This is 1A.